Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I am now currently an author of 11 award-winning children's books, and I've been teaching as a professor full-time for the last year and a half, and I'm currently working on my doctorate in school psychology. The world is a melting pot. Autism is just a different way to learn, and diversity is beautiful. Books are windows into a world that children don't know about yet, and if we give that to them, they're learning positive things, and then they're asking questions that lead to even more positive conversations. I wrote my book specifically the way I did because I wanted kids to understand it, and I never expected the amount of adults to really understand autism better from my books. That has been probably the best part about being an author. Oh, I think it brings the story to life, and when I go and do readings or I go to festivals, I have children and I have adults come up to me and say, hey, I saw myself in your book.
You're tuned into the Active Action Podcast. Step into a world of engaging conversations with leading experts, where every episode is your chance to learn, grow, and stay inspired. Become our premium supporter and get access to expert articles and strategy guides on personal and professional development, and enjoy lots of other exclusive features. Visit our website activeaction.fm for more information and to explore all episodes. Don't forget to check our merchandise for exciting goodies at activeaction.shop. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode.
Hello, good morning, dear listeners. Welcome back to another episode of the Activation Podcast. It's me, your host, Dr. Nazif, back again with another episode with another amazing guest and topic. Before delving into that, I wanted to let you guys know that we did start our premium supporters program. So if you are an enthusiast of personal and professional development, and if you're interested in having premium strategy guides and direction guides on personal and professional development, feel free to become a premium supporter of Active Action Podcast by visiting www.activeaction.fm/support. Apart from that, we did start our online merchandise program. So if you want to take a look at our high quality clothing, bag, phone cover, scented candles, or other cool goodies, feel free to visit www.activeaction.shop. Apart from that, let's dive into today's podcast. Today we have with us, Lisa is a professor of psychology at the Union College of New Jersey and Southern New Hampshire University. How are you doing this morning, Lisa?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to share your words of wisdom with our audiences. And today, dear audiences, our topic is importance of addressing autism, bullying, and diversity in children's books. Before we dive into the podcast, I just wanted to let you guys know a bit about our esteemed guest, Lisa. So Lisa is a psychology professor at the Union College of New Jersey and SNHU. Lisa began writing short stories when she was 7 years old. Writing is a passion for her and one of the many things she enjoys. She is currently the author of the award-winning first four books of In the Let's Talk series, Rascal Cat Brothers, Perfect as I Am, and Spooky Wookie Dance Party, and others found at stores worldwide. Lisa also lives in New Jersey, where she enjoys spending time with her friends and family, traveling, and working on her next book. Thank you so much, Lisa, again for joining into this podcast and actually talking about a very important topic, which is why it is very important to address aspects, autism, bullying, and diversity in children's book. So can I ask you to let you know about a bit about yourself to our audiences, apart from what I just mentioned?
Absolutely. I have been in the field of applied behavior analysis for 11 years. I started working with adults in residential group homes that had mental health disorders and developmental disabilities. So that's where I originally got my start. I did that for 4 years, and then I started working with children in in-home ABA, doing one-to-one therapy with children with autism. And then I did early intervention for 5 years, where I worked with little ones under three with cognitive delays and autism, and did family training. Mm-hmm. I am now currently an author of 11 award-winning children's books, and I've been teaching as a professor full-time for the last year and a half. And I'm currently working on my doctorate in school psychology. I'm at the end of my program. I switched from applied behavior analysis to my license in school psychology so that I can actually do more. I felt, you know, I wasn't doing enough in ABA, and having my books has been so amazing that it inspired me to switch fields so I can do more. And I plan to have my own private practice under my business that I have for my books. I also do consulting now when it comes to social skills groups, helping other authors get published. So I'm hoping to expand on that, and I'm excited for all of that as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much, Lisa. You have a lot of things going on, and I'm really excited to have such a knowledgeable guest for our episode today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing your journey. And now we're going to delve into the topic that we're going to discuss today. So I just want to ask you first, why do you think it's important to address these topics we mentioned, autism, bullying, and diversity, in children's books and literature?
The world is a melting pot. Autism is just a different way to learn. And diversity is beautiful. Every single one of us is different and individualized. And we need to learn how to be open to that. There's no real reason why we shouldn't be. And having autism, there's a lot of bullying that goes on with that because not enough is put out there about what autism really is. So it's really important to address these topics because honestly, they're not going away. We can decrease bullying to a really positive point. But autism is a neurological disorder. It happens when we're in the room and we're developing. And it's something that really is beautiful and a part of diversity. And it really is just a different way to learn. So if we can talk about these different topics in the books and become comfortable and learn better, because not enough is put out there about autism or diversity, we can have these children grow up to be adults that are more open, more accepting. Right. That can lead to the decrease in bullying that we so badly need right now.
I really agree with you, Lisa, on this, because how we know children's minds, they're shaped as in their younger age. It reflects how they will be when they grow up. And these are very extravagant topic, autism and bullying, things that are not even spoken very often, and especially to young kids, and to let them know the importance of understanding this. And so if these are actually ingrained on the books or the stuffs they read, it actually gives them an idea from a very early age. And then even it gets them interested to know more about these things, so that in their adult or young adult age, they can more support the people who have faced this kind of situation. So I think it's very important to add these topics in the children's book. Can I ask you, how can children's book serve as a tool to foster understanding and empathy among young readers based on your experience?
It is through the stories that we tell in the books. And the more we bring books into the home that have similar stories or even small differences, the more we see the same thing, the more it gets easier to understand it and it becomes muscle memory. So through these stories, children are learning. They're learning social skills. They're learning if something is okay or not. When a child is 2, 3, 4 years old, it's the parent reading the book with them. So you're essentially making the story for what it is. And books can also lead to conversations. That's why I wrote my first series, Let's Talk, was to encourage children to ask these questions. So when you're reading these books, kids are going to have questions and looking to you as a parent, guardian, friend to explain what's going on. And that's where we really need to have those discussions about it's okay to be different. It's okay to be acting differently. It's okay to have a different skin color. It's okay to have two dads or two moms. It's okay that your sibling's skin color is different than yours because they're adopted. Books are windows into a world that children don't know about yet. And if we give that to them, they're learning positive things and then they're asking questions that lead to even more positive conversations. Books are such a magical way to open children's minds and show them something that is positive, something that's good, and something that's better than what we could be showing them.
Wonderfully spoken. And thank you so much, Lisa, for that perspective. And I know it's very important to when we say children's book as a tool, we know for children, book, personally from my experience, book has a very important impact on my life because at my age, when I was a young kid, I didn't have the technologies, the phone or the gaming devices, those kind of things. Books were the only thing that I had, both in my schools, but also in home where I saw all the pictures in the books and everything, things that actually had a deep impact in my mind. So when we talk about book as a tool, you're completely 100% right that book does serve as a very important tool to let children understand very important aspects. How you even mentioned that their sibling might be of a different color because they might be adopted. So how does this thought get into them? How does they begin their journey to understand that? And I think book plays a very pivotal role in that. Can I ask you, I know you're an award-winning author on the book series of Let's Talk. Can I ask you, what inspired you to focus on these themes that we are discussing today in your own writing?
I was brought up to be open to anyone and everything, no matter what. So for me to go into a field where I'm working with children or adults with autism, it was very natural. And I've always wanted to be a writer and author. It's always been in the back of my mind. And that's really thanks to my grandmother, who would ask me constantly, what happened to your writing? Yeah, so as a creative and a writer, we kind of just get inspired at really weird times. So thankfully, my grandmother always had that back in my mind. And I actually got inspired at work one day. And I was working with a little one with autism that was in the middle to the higher end of the spectrum. She had very little communication. She talked in a couple words, so would whisper, but she could read and write. This is amazing. This is something that would be really positive to show in a book. So that's where the characters came from. And then when I worked with adults, one of the things that the last company I worked for asked me to do when they hired me was to plan activities. So yeah, sure, I get to go too. That's awesome. And I had the best time. I rode roller coasters with them and went down water slides and went apple and pumpkin picking with them. Mm-hmm. We had a Special Olympics bowling team that I coached. And being the behavior specialist, I had all the houses with the serious behaviors. But guess what? We never had behaviors when we went out. We had an amazing time. So one of the things that parents always believe when they get the diagnosis is that their child's life is over. So I put in different activities for each book to show my experience with the adults and show the parents that the diagnosis does not mean they can't go to Crayola Factory and walk around and have a good time, or they can't go to a water park. I worked with adults who could drive cars. I've worked with adults who got degrees and went to school. So that inspired each book in the Let's Talk series and the Happy Thoughts series to be a different activity too. And because I have such a vast experience, I'm very thankful for that. I wanted to show a different social issue in each book. So my books start off being very focused on communication, and they still have that focus, but each one has a different theme. And book two in the Let's Talk series is actually about bullying as well. So I write what I know, and I've been very, very lucky to have this incredible experience over the last 11 years. So I've incorporated all that into my books as a way to show parents that we don't need to just communicate with our mouth. There's other ways we can communicate, and that those children are only limited by the parents. If you give them the chance to try any other child, there's no reason that they couldn't do something. And if not, then hey, it's not for them. So that's really where the inspiration for that came from.
Wonderful. And I really love the idea of seeing you very passionate and being focused on the work that you're doing and the change that you're trying to make. So I really hope these endeavors actually do work for the sake of children, for the sake of their betterment, and for the better understanding. I really commend the work that you're doing over here. You did mention that.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98, because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help, you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
The children are sometimes limited by their parents. So we know parents actually have a very meaningful impact on their children, as they tend to be their nearest and closest ones. Can I ask you this question, that how can parents and as well as other educators use book as a tool to address these topics in order to start a meaningful conversation with their children?
Be very picky about the books that you... My books really explain autism in a way that children and adults can understand it. And I have many author friends who do as well. And we actually just came out with this, the Catalog of Diverse Kids books. So if anybody is looking to find books that can help explain it, we got this. And it's free, by the way. This is free. But the best thing you can do is find books that really explain what you're looking to tell your kids in a way that helps them understand. I wrote my book specifically the way I did because I wanted kids to understand it. And I never expected the amount of adults to really understand autism better from my books. That has been probably the best part about being an author. I write children's books. Who knew that adults would love them? So that's been the icing on the cake. Adults' minds are hard to change. So having, right? Exactly. It's hard to get an adult to be more open. It's just a fact. But for someone, my 92-year-old grandmother, to call me, I understand autism now. I was just, oh my God, never expected that. So it's about finding the books that really resonate with you and explain things in a way that you can understand so that you can help your child. My books are about autism and special needs cats, and it's for those families who don't understand but want to. I showed the Catalog of Diverse Kids books. We've got so many books in there: ADHD, adoption, LGBTQ+, other animal books are in there. There's a whole content thing. So, and it's free. We give you the PDF for free. So something that is an incredible resource for families, for libraries, for schools. My best recommendation is to contact one of us through social media to get the PDF and then take a look. I mean, it's a free resource, and then see what in there you want to buy to be able to help your child and help yourself understand diversity in a more positive.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Lisa, for sharing that journey. I know autism, bullying, these are actually very sensitive topics. So can I ask you, as an author, what challenges have you faced when writing or publishing book on these sensitive topics?
I've actually been very lucky because I have a background in the field. I haven't faced too many challenges. I think the one challenge that I had was when I wrote Let's Talk 5, which I'm hoping to put out next year. That book is going to be very special. I don't want to put too much, but they go to dance class. That's the theme. And I've got some really amazing diverse characters in there. So the one challenge I wanted to make sure of was that I was very, very true to the ethnicity and the culture of the characters that I introduce. So I made sure I did my research and I made sure that I put in summary because I've been trying to print the book for 2 years, but things get in the way. So hopefully next year. But I have a ton of pictures to make sure my illustrator can actually be able to do it so it's culturally and ethnically correct. So I think that's the one thing that I'm always very aware of. And I always make sure to try to be as true and honest as possible when it comes to that. I have a friend that's the same culture and religion, and I've gone to her for advice for other things that I've written as well. So I think as an author, that's something we have to be very, very on top of. And I want to always make sure my books never offend and that they are true and real as possible.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Lisa. And as I mentioned, you're doing a very commendable work, but also keeping in mind how your book and how the tone of the book can actually impact children. But also, as you mentioned, it's impacting the adults as well. And how you mentioned that it's difficult to mold adults' thinking and the way of how their brain works. So I'm very excited actually to check out some of the books that you have written. So where I can find them, I'll come to that a bit later. But thank you so much for sharing that perspectives. Can I ask you a question? Can you share an example of a moment when your work positivity actually impacted a reader or a family?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. One of my favorites was actually from last year. I was at a festival at a high school and I was selling my books. We do these craft fairs at high schools during the fall, during the spring here in Jersey. And this little boy came up to my table and I started talking to him. I knew immediately he was on the spectrum. He was sweet. But he goes, you read your books in my school last year. I was, oh, my God. It took me a minute to remember, too. And then I finally realized I knew what school he was talking about. But for him to remember, and he pointed to the exact books, too. I was just, you remember me? Not only did you remember me a year later, you recognized me.
Yes.
What? That's amazing. But he was so sweet. I got him talking about some things that he really, really loved. And he just lit up when I was talking to him. And then his mom was so sweet. Her table was right across from me. She came over. I was talking to her. And they bought one of my books and I donated one of my books to his class. That little boy lit up and just stayed lit up when he took the book. It was so cute and sweet. And I literally was fighting back tears because I was like, oh my God, he remembered me. That is probably the biggest compliment I could ever receive. And also the fact he's on the spectrum. So it's not always easy for little ones on the spectrum to encode things into their short-term memory. So for him to remember something a year later, when he only saw me once. With autism, you usually have to repeat things for them to really be able to encode it. So he saw me once, literally a year, almost to the day. It was November the year before. And he also remembered the books. So that really meant that he really was impacted by my reading and really enjoyed it. And it meant everything to me.
A perfect example, Lisa, of the positivity that you're creating among the young children, and to them to have that remember it actually means that they had an impact by reading those books, seeing those illustrations. They could connect with them. So I think, and it's a very lovely story. Thank you for sharing that. So I think it actually makes me think the young kids and the children, if we give them something meaningful so that which they can connect with and which they feel which is dear to them, they will remember it for sure. And in specific ways that will just blow your mind, the story that you just shared. you actually also discuss much diverse topics in children's books about diversity as well. So, and we know these diversity topics actually is a bit complex in order for to understand, even for us, even for adults. So can I ask you, how do you ensure that your books accurately and respectfully represent the diverse experience you write in the children's book?
Oh, I have some of my family members read them. One of my family members I'm very close to is one of my aunts, and my cousin has two sons, my younger cousins. So I always send my books to her and to them, because both of them love to read, especially the younger one. But they really, really love that I'm an author too. And they've actually helped me. So my book that'll come out in the fall, they actually helped me with writing that and characters and stuff, which was really, really cool. But I always send it to them because they will be honest with me. They give me exact honest feedback. Oh, yeah, especially the younger cousin. They grew up in a diverse community. And also my cousin's husband is Jamaican. They're Italian. So my little cousins are also mixed. So diversity is a very large part of our lives and their lives. So I trust their opinions very, very much. So before I decide to print anything, I always send it to them to get feedback. And I'm very, very thankful to have their support and their honest thoughts on my books.
Thank you so much, Lisa. And it's always helpful to get those valuable feedbacks, even from the audience, from the age group of the audiences that you're intending to write a book from. Always very helpful. The book that you showed me, I saw there are a lot of illustrations in that book.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And we know for children specifically, illustrations actually play a vital role in understanding and getting connected with the theme that you're talking in the book. What do you think, what role does illustration play in communicating these vital themes to young audiences?
Oh, I think it brings the story to life. And when I go and do readings or I go to festivals, I have children and I have adults come up to me and say, hey, I saw myself in your book. And I think that's where the illustration comes into play, because with the words, you picture it in your mind. But with the illustration, you're given it right there. So it's easier for you to picture. And sometimes children are drawn directly to the illustration first, and then they read the story. And one of the things that is really, really important with DEI in books is that representation, that relatability, because there's not enough of it out there, and we need more of that out there. Mm-hmm. I've had people come up to me and be like, I didn't know about special needs cats. I didn't know about a picture exchange communication system when it comes to ways of communication. But for a child to see a PEC system there, or for a child to see a cat with special needs there, maybe they're similar to them, or it's love of cats and animals in their mind, it's really empowering and it's really, really beautiful to see. So it's really about that relatability and showing individuals in print and in the pictures something or someone that looks like them, or something or someone that encourages them to fall in love with that topic too.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for explaining that. I wanted to ask you, in these times, are writers who are publishing children's books, and what do changes would you like to see in the children's publishing industry regarding representation and inclusion?
More. I want to see more. And I know this is going to be controversial, but I don't like the idea of superpowers. I feel like that is making the child into something. Their diversity is something that is beautiful. It's different, and that's totally fine. We shouldn't be defining it by something like a superpower or superhero type thing. We should be showing them as relatable, showing these individuals doing things that are everyday things so that we normalize it. I hate the word normal. It's why I use the quotes. But we want neurodiversity to be something that is accepted. So that's something we need to see changing in the books. We need to see more, and we need to see more of what things that are going to be relatable and kids go through every day. Autism is a spectrum, and that's for a reason. But we're seeing specific things on the spectrum in the books, and we're not seeing enough of the diversity that comes with being a spectrum. So that's what I would love to see increase and see more of when it comes to children's books, young adult, middle grade. And we also need more individuals with autism writing and illustrating. 75% of my books are illustrated by individuals with autism. and a lot of the adults I worked with were incredible artists and would draw these amazing pictures. I had one that would go to an art show at her day program a couple times a year. So we need to see more of encouragement to get into the field when the individual has the desire and want to do that as well.
Thank you so much, Lisa, for sharing that. I really, really admire the work that you're doing and the words of wisdom that you shared with my audiences today. Just wanted to let your audiences, if you're looking into having the books that Lisa authored, you can do that by going to www.books.my.canva.site. I'll just spell that out for the audiences in the podcast, in the audio podcast. That is www.diveresenkbooks.my.canva.site. Feel free to check out those books. And I just want to end the podcast here, Lisa, by asking you one question. For inspiring authors who also want to write about the topics of autism, bullying, or diversity, how can aspiring authors approach writing about these topics in a way that is both sensitive and meaningful?
Two things. One, do it based on your experience if you are in the field. And two, if not, then do your research. Talk to people. I would talk to people in the field. I would network with other authors. I would talk to families with children or adults with autism. The best thing you can do when you're writing a book that's DEI is making sure you have the background to back up what you are writing. If you're somebody who has zero experience with autism, you're going to need that to be able to do it ethically and do it. It's not fair to the individuals or the community if you're putting things out there that aren't relatable or aren't factual. We have a lot of that going on right now. We don't need more of it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that view, Lisa. And I hope the audiences who are actually thinking about writing these books on these topics would find value to what you mentioned. And I really, again, thank you so much for coming to this podcast and sharing about autism, bullying, and diversity, and especially how books can actually create an impact on children and why these topics are very important and timely for children to know in through the means of the book. I really, really appreciate your time for that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And best of luck with all your endeavors. I am very keen and interested to check out the books from the website. So if I have any questions, I'll do reach out to you. Also, dear audiences, if you have any questions for our guest today, Lisa, you can do that by going to our website, www.activeaction.fm. If you just search name, you'll find her webpage and links to her socials and all the website that I've shown you. So if you go into that, it's a mean for you to connect with Lisa and ask her questions if you have any, or if you want to know more about her books or where you can get them, you can also do that by visiting the page. Thank you so much, Lisa. I hope the best for you on your future endeavors, and I'll chat with you soon again. I'll keep in touch.
Thank you so much.
Dear audiences, thank you so much again for sticking to this podcast and listening to the episode. If you have found this to be valuable for someone else, please feel free to share this as well with your friends and family. Apart from that, just wanted to let you know, if you did find value in our podcast, feel free to provide us a tip in our virtual tip jar at activeaction.fm/tip. Apart from that, stay active and take action. I'll meet you in the next episode.
Thank you for joining us on the Active Action Podcast at activeaction.fm. We hope today's episode gave you some entertainment, fresh perspectives, and a little extra motivation to take action in your own life. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed the show, share it with someone who might love it too. Oh, one more thing. Become our premium supporter and get access to expert articles and strategy guides on personal and professional development, and enjoy lots of other exclusive features. Get started for free. Visit our website, activeaction.fm/supporter, for more information. Take care, stay active, and take action.